My prayers never make it past the ceiling. Why is that? And why is it that the inner joy I sense in some seems to escape me?
Ah, yes. The victorious Christian life. It's a mystery to many Christians. Today on Scandia Bible Church Podcast, Elder Keith Barker explains that many think that the victorious Christian life can come only through years of service on the mission field, or perhaps 20 years in the pastorate. It needn't be this complicated, though, for Jesus spelled it out clearly in his everyday teaching as he walked this earth. Because you see, when you take what Jesus had to say to heart, I mean really take it to heart, it will leave you with a precious, confident smile, revealing to others the inescapable reality that you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church Podcast for Sunday, June 5th, 2016. We'd like to invite you to visit our website at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you can learn more about us, access past sermons, and can obtain the sermon notes for today's message. And now, let's join Keith Barker as he delivers his message entitled, The Secret of Obedience.
John 14, reading in verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Well, lest I spend the next half hour talking to you with no eternal value, would you join with me in a moment of prayer? Father God, to commit the time to you, your words, your commission, by your Spirit, you can touch a life here today. That's my desire, because I think it'll bring glory to you, in Christ's name. Amen. Indeed, I believe this message, I'm going to adjust my ears while I talk. I believe this message has life-changing power. If you're open to these truths, they are eternal. In the morning, I want to speak to you about the secret of obedience. And so many people are looking for the secret of the victorious Christian life, right? Where is it found? And I believe in the passage that we have before us, we may be very close to the most incisive statement to help us understand how to live victoriously. And so I want to call our message this morning, The Secret of Obedience. We sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. May I tell you what's wrong with the average Christian? He's disobedient. May I tell you what's wrong with the average church? It's filled with disobedient people. And right away, I've kind of offended a little bit of everyone, because you say, but Keith, I'm a really nice person, you know. Yeah, I understand that. When I was in the mission field, I helped out the maintenance man at the missionary kid, the MK school. And he asked if I would put a fluorescent light in the breezeway between two buildings. It had a roof there and a walkway, pretty wide cement floor. And so I put a fluorescent light up there. And I left it on, and I came back after dark, and there was very little light. I thought I'd do better than that. And as I looked, that light was completely encrusted with ants. Completely. I thought, well, that's really strange. I don't know if it was the humming or the light or the warmth or what caused him there. There it was. I was like, well, there goes that light. I came back later, and those ants were all dead on the cement floor. Well, that's an improvement, but I thought, how curious. Was it the heat of hanging onto that fluorescent tube that killed him? Whatever, I don't know, but For spiritual application, folks, as we are drawn to the light of God's Word, do you see it coming? More and more of self goes away, and the brightness of the Lord begins to shine in our lives. We like to think we are obedient people. In reality, be holy as the Lord your God is holy. There's so many commandments, I'm going to call them commandments, the teaching, the words of Jesus, so many that we kind of shuffle past. For instance, Russell talked about pray for our nation. We're commanded to pray for kings and those in authority over us. How often do I do that? Not nearly often enough. That should be. Why is our country in trouble? Like they say, if your pastor isn't a very good preacher, how often do you pray for him? Oh, is that my responsibility too? Yes. So there's a lot of things we don't do that we could do. Want me to tell you why people are not happy in their faith? They're saved, but they're enduring it rather than enjoying it. They're simply not being obedient to the Word of God. And folks, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's not complicated. Obedience is something we don't hear much about. We preach so much about salvation by grace through faith, and that salvation is a gift of God, that when we talk about obedience, people think, oh, now we're getting legalistic. Let's not go there. There's no life in legalism. But I have to agree with Martin Luther, who said we're not saved by faith and works, but we're saved by a faith that works. And James said that faith without works is dead, and there are so many things that hinge on our obedience. So there are three things I want you to learn from this passage in John 14. What a glorious chapter this is in God's Word. First of all, I want you to notice the motive for obedience. Why do you love the Lord Jesus? Point number one, the motive, the love of Christ. A love for Christ is the motive for obedience. In John chapter 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, folks, there's no other motive for keeping the Word of God than love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's not complicated. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. Don't tell me that you love the Lord Jesus if you're not obeying him. It's just silly, foolish talk. And as a matter of fact, our Lord makes it very clear and very plain that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. If you will look in John 14, verse 21, as we move along, and I read, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him." Jesus tells us very clearly that the motive for commandment keeping is love for the Lord Jesus. I don't keep the commandments in order to get to heaven. My way to heaven is already paved by the grace of God. I keep the commandments simply because I love the Lord Jesus. If you'd like to go with me to Mark chapter 12 for a minute or two, let's see how we are to love the Lord Jesus. Mark 12. I'm going to be in verse 30 as I pick up my Bible here. Mark 12, 30. Beginning the end of 29 there. "The Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Now, folks, here's the way that we're to love the Lord. He speaks here of the reality of love. We're to love the Lord with all of our heart. It's a heartfelt love. It's not a superficial love. Jesus said, "These people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, we sing Sunday morning sometimes, "I will be true to you till death." And let me go from preaching to meddling here. Yet we have trouble getting to church on time. "I will be true to you till death," but oh my, we're oh. No, dear friends, we're to love the Lord with reality, and that is with all of our hearts. And then he speaks of the responsiveness of love. Notice again, verse 30. We're to love the Lord, our God, with all of our soul, with all of our soul. What does that mean? Well, in the Bible, the soul is the self. And what our Lord is saying is that the entire self, the entire person, shall be given over to him. No area is private. No area says, Lord, keep out. Everything is given over to the Lord. I will love you with all of my soul. That is, with all there is of me. Every part, every area is given over to the Lord. Years ago, there were a group of ministers who wanted to have a revival crusade in their town. So they got together for a planning session. Several of the ministers said, we've got to have D.L. Moody. We've got to have D.L. Moody. Does that name mean anything to some of you who have no idea what that is? Founder of Moody Bible Institute, godly man, wonderfully used of the Lord. We've got to have D.L. Moody. And then someone said, why Moody? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And the other minister said, no, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. He loved the Lord with all of his soul. But notice, this speaks not only of the reality of love and the responsiveness of love, but it speaks of the reasonableness of love. Children, go home and Google D.L. Moody and read about his life. It'll be a blessing to you. Look at it again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy mind. We ought to love God with all of our mind. And the reason that some of us don't love the Lord is that we don't study. And the reason that we don't study is because we don't love the Lord. You see how that works? Boop, boop, boop. You can't leave your mind out of it. The Bible says we're to study to show ourselves approved, the workman that need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth, using God's word to conform us into the image of the Lord Jesus. Do you love God with all your heart today? Do you really, honestly, folks? That's the reality of love. You love him today with all of your soul. That's the responsiveness of love. Everything is given to him. Do you love him with all your mind? That's the reasonableness of love. And then notice, you're to love him with all of your strength. That's the resourcefulness of love. Everything that I have, all of my energies are to be focused in love for the Lord Jesus. In truth, we say, I want to love him that way, Keith. I need to love him that way. I don't love him that way as I ought. God, help me to love him more with all of my strength. Now, he's just not talking here about physical strength. Surely you ought to love him with your physical strength, but there's more than one kind of strength. There's emotional strength. There's financial strength. There are the abilities and talents that God has given you. And the Lord is telling us the motive for obedience. The motive for obedience is love. Go back to John 14 again. John 14, 15. Notice what our Lord is saying. If you love me, keep my commandments. So don't tell me you love him if you don't keep his commandments. God's not interested in that kind of love. Don't tell me how many verses you've memorized. Don't tell me how often you come to church. I want to know, are you reading what the book says? And are you obeying it? Are you loving the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength? If you are, then you'll be keeping the commandments of the Lord. Have you ever wondered why God didn't make us so that we had to love him, we had to serve him? I know that's a question that comes up from time to time. Let me back up to why God didn't make us where we just have to serve him. A few years ago, people were buying pet rocks. I never had a pet rock. Sounded like a stupid idea to me. But a lot of people had pet rocks. You know, there's a neat thing about a pet rock. You put it down somewhere, you say, don't move, and it just stays right there. You'll never have to feed it. It'll never break your heart. It'll never disappoint you. It just sits there. But you know, you don't get your nose licked by a pet rock. You see, God could have made us like a bunch of pet rocks, where we could do nothing but obey Him. God would get no response from us if we were that way, any more than you get from a pet rock. We're talking about obedience this morning. Remember that it is love that God wants. It is your love that God wants. And love is the motive for obedience. When I was in the mountains of Irianjaya, in one of the toughest stations there, two missionaries had been killed there in the early days, and I got mad at God. I said, you've told me if I hunger and thirst after righteousness, I'd be filled, and Lord, I don't feel any closer to you than when I left the States. That night in the master bedroom where they were letting me stay, I was on my knees saying, God, I'm calling you account on this. You made a promise, and you're not holding up your end. Next day, the airplane came. It had a catalog from Prairie Bible College, and the Lord impressed upon my life, Keith, I don't want your service. I give you the privilege of working for me. What I want is your love. And how do you learn to love the Lord? You learn to love the Lord by studying His Word. It's not complicated. That was the beginning of 5 years of formal Bible college. Amazing, since I'm not a student. So the second thing I want you to see, if the love of God is the motive of obedience, the Word of God is the measure of obedience. Look in John 14:15 again. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then let's go to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Oh, children, don't let those words just fly off your head. God is saying he will love you and manifest himself to you. Wow. Look in verse 23, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So here the Lord is speaking of his commandments, and here the Lord is speaking of his words. You see, if you love him, that's the motivation for obeying. But what's the measure for obedience? How are you going to know what to obey? How are you going to know what to do? Well, you've got to know the Word of God. You can't keep his commandments until you have them. He it is that has my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. And so we've got to get into the Word of God. That's the measure of your obedience, bringing your life into conformity to the Word of God. Remember, King Saul failed to obey the Lord. He had a silly excuse for failing, and Samuel spoke to Saul saying, it's better to obey, King Saul, than it is to sacrifice. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Did you know that if you're not obeying God today, that is, if you're not bringing your life into conformity with His Word, God calls that rebellion? Oh, sounds serious. And He joins that to the sins of stubbornness, idolatry, iniquity, and witchcraft. Serious. You see, to fail to obey God is sheer rebellion. To fail to bring your life into accordance with the book is sheer rebellion. There may be some small thing God is dealing with you. You know, God may be asking you to apologize to someone, and you say, well, that's such a small thing. It doesn't matter. It's not a small thing to disobey God. God may be telling you to give a certain amount of money. You say, well, it's such a small sum, it doesn't really matter. It's not a small thing to disobey God. God may be telling you to witness to someone. You say, well, that's not a big sin. I haven't committed murder. God says that stubbornness is like idolatry, iniquity, and witchcraft. Hello? See, the measure of our obedience is the Word of God. I mean, if you're not bringing your life into conformity with His Word, then we're not obeying Him. The motive for my obedience is the love of God. The measure of my obedience is the Word of God. The degree to which I bring my life into conformity with His holy Word. Pastors preach to a lot of people who, if they were honest, would say, Jesus Christ is not real in my life. Oh, I believe in Jesus, and in a way, I love Jesus, and I'm trusting Jesus to get me to heaven, and I really expect to go to heaven. But really, if I were to be honest with you, Keith, I would have to say that Jesus is more someone that I know about than someone I know. He's not really real to me like some people talk about Jesus being real to them. He doesn't really manifest Himself to me, and I don't have that intimate personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And if you'd be honest, many of you would say that, and I'm going to tell you why. You want to know why? Because you're not obeying the Word of God. I want to show you one of the most pungent and powerful verses in all the Bible. It's John 14:21. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now notice this. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Wow. Now you want the Father to love you? Then love the Son. You want to prove that you love the Son? Then keep the commandments. But now notice, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And watch this next phrase, and will manifest myself to him. God is saying, I will manifest myself. I will reveal myself to you. Do you want Jesus to be real to you? Do you want Jesus to show himself to you? It's so simple. Find his words, start obeying his word, and Jesus Christ will suddenly become very, very real to you. And you won't have to be talking about, why is God so far off? Why is it when I pray the heavens seem like brass? That's an old expression in Christendom. We talk about prayers not getting higher than the ceiling. Why is it that everybody else seems happy in Jesus and I'm not happy in Jesus? It's because, dear friend, you're not obeying the Word of God. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. That's not scripture, that's words of a song, but it's true. It's so plain. If you want Jesus to be real to you, draw near to Him. Look at verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is it you're going to make yourself real to us? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and will make our abode with him. If there's ever a wow, that's a wow. That's how I'm going to do it, Jesus said. I'm just going to dwell in your heart in such a real and vital way that you just know that I'm there, but you must be keeping my word. You must be obeying me. Have you ever wondered sometimes why you can't understand the Bible? You read the Bible and you just don't understand it. If you're not open to the truths of the Word, the Bible will become a dull book to you. And if you would tell the truth, you'd say, I'd rather be watching television or I'd rather be playing with my cell phone than reading the Bible. Yet you believe the Bible and you love the Word of God, and there are many things in the Bible that you'd like to understand. And you say, Pastor, why is it that I don't understand the Bible? I'll tell you why. You're not obeying the Bible. The way to understand the part of the Bible you don't understand is to obey the part you do understand. You see, God says, when you start to obey what I've already shown you, I'm going to show you more. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way to really understand this book in a living way except through obedience. Now, the love of God is the motive of obedience. The word of God is the measure of obedience. And just to put it another way, the love of Christ is the secret of obedience. The word of Christ is the standard of obedience. You're going to obey him by obeying his word. Let's go on and think not only of the motive and the measure, but the might of obedience. You say, Brother Keith, I just can't love the Lord that way. I just don't have enough strength to obey him that way. Well, you're quite right, because I don't either. You see, the Christian life isn't a hard life, it's an impossible life. And the only way you're going to obey the Lord is for God to give you supernatural strength. Strength to obey him. So it's not by chance or coincidence that he speaks of keeping his commandments in verse 15, and then in verse 16 he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." See how those lock together? "That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it receiveth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless," Jesus said. "I will come to you." If the task seems too great for you, just relax, because obeying the Lord is not the strength of your flesh. It's not in the power. It's in the might of the Spirit of God. You can't love him without the Spirit. You can't obey him without the Spirit. And here when the Lord says, "I will send you another comforter," you can translate that, "I will send you a strengthener," someone to strengthen you, someone to stand alongside of you, someone to guide you and to energize you. You're not called upon to do it by yourself. And that strengthener, of course, is the Holy Spirit of God. You know, people often don't understand how to live the Christian life. And they always miss it when they leave out the Holy Spirit. There are some people who think that the answer is intellectual. If they can just study and study and study and go to class after class until their head is full. Seminary students need to understand that studying is not going to make you spiritual. It just will not do it. You can backslide with a Bible under your arm. It is not intellectual. There are other people who think that it's emotion, so they come to a certain kind of service where everything is hyped up and there's a certain kind of rhythmic music and there's a certain kind of oratory from the pulpit and there's a certain type of exchange with the people and they get all hyped up. You've been to services like that. I have. There's nothing really wrong with emotion. I'm not against emotion. I'm not against people getting excited in church. And if your cup overflows, by all means, let it overflow. But the answer is not intellectual. The answer is not emotional. And there are other people who think the answer must be activity, and their motto is, "A busy Christian is a happy Christian. Work, 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 go, go, go." And yet Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." What a wonderful verse that is. When you get too busy, remind yourself, "Peace I leave with you." What's the strength of obedience? What's the might of obedience? Well, the secret of obedience is the love for the Lord. The standard of obedience is the word of the Lord. But the strength of obedience is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. "I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." I want you to notice what the Lord says here. He doesn't say that it will abide with thee, but he shall abide with you. Learn this. Learn this. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing, not an influence. Sometimes you'll hear new Christians or people who aren't taught refer to the Spirit of God as it. Oh my, how that. I've heard it in this congregation from an adult. The Spirit of God is not an it. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that God is a force and an influence, but not a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, a person. And one of the reasons the Jehovah's Witnesses reject the idea of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is that they say, well, that's unreasonable. Folks, never reject that which is unreasonable to you, because our God is always beyond human reason. Always beyond human reason. And when I say to you that he's a person, I don't mean that he has a body. I mean that he has personality. And when I say he has personality, I don't mean that he's taken a course in how to be well-liked. Don't get the idea of personality in that way. I mean, he has the attributes of personhood, which is intelligence. For example, the Holy Spirit is intelligent. Romans 8:27. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a mind. It's an expression for us to be able to understand. That's the reason that the early apostles and disciples, even though they were uneducated men, Scripture says they spoke with great power and great wisdom. Why? The Holy Spirit in them, who has a mind, is giving them that wisdom. The Holy Spirit has emotions and feelings. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed till the day of redemption. You see, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. A thing cannot be grieved. Only a person can be grieved. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves. Only a person can love. A thing can't love. The Holy Spirit not only has mind and not only has emotions, the Holy Spirit has a will. I read in Acts 13:2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so the Holy Spirit has a will for my life, and he has a will for your life. Young people, oh, that you can grasp that. I ought to be hearing each day the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. What an amazing promise. And how will he do it? By the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. So what I'm trying to say is this, that Jesus is saying that the strength for obedience, the might for obedience, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person, folks. Why is it important to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person rather than an influence? Well, he's so important to worship. You won't worship a thing. You worship a person, the third member of the Trinity. He is to be worshiped. Many Christians think that the Holy Spirit is some sort of a power, that if they can get that power within them, they can use that power. They think that the power of the Spirit is some supernatural force that comes in and takes over their lives. The Holy Spirit is not a force that I use. The Holy Spirit is a person who uses me. You see, it is not for me to get more of him. It is for him to get more of me. The Spirit is not given in measure. It's not whether I get more of him. It's how much of him he has of me. Oh, that some people can grasp these truths. They are life-changing. You see, he's here to take the place of Jesus. Notice what it says in John 14, beginning again in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And now verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Two words in the Greek language for another. One means another of a different type, and one means another of the same type. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you another of the same type. Jesus comes to dwell within us. That blessed verse, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a wonderful definition of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is not just an influence, he is a person. Don't let someone tell you The Holy Spirit is not a person. He has the emotions of a person. He has the mind of a person. He has the will of a person. He is the third person of the Holy Trinity. All right, have I beat that up enough? No one should leave without that awareness. It's not what I do for God that counts. It's what God does in me. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now some people will stumble with this. Jesus is saying you are better off with the Holy Spirit inside you than you are with me beside you. Never forget that. You are better off with the Holy Spirit inside you than you would be with Jesus beside you. Thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit in me. That's why I'm going to keep his commandments. It all comes together. Love for Jesus is the motive for obedience. The Word of God is the measure of my obedience. And I can't claim that I'm obeying if I'm not bringing my life into conformity with his Word. But the Spirit of God is the might of my obedience, and the strength of my obedience is the Holy Spirit within me. I want to ask you a question. Do you love Jesus this morning? Do you really love him? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Is the desire of your heart to please the Lord? Is the desire of your heart to keep his commandments? Is his word the standard for your life? And then is the Holy Spirit energizing you to love the Lord Jesus and to obey him? A missionary lady with World Team working in Egypt was confronted by an Egyptian lady recognizing the World Team missionary as a representative of God. The Egyptian lady said, "When I die, the gods are going to weigh my heart. And if it weighs more than a feather, I'm disqualified." She said to the missionary lady, "How can I make my heart lighter than a feather?" Missionary had a chance to say, "We are all born with a heart burdened with sin, heavy with sin. But oh, hallelujah. The cleansing of the Lord Jesus, that our hearts can be cleansed." An opportunity to bring that lady to the foot of the cross, as it were, and say, "Jesus loves even you." And at the judgment seat, you can say, "My heart is free because of the price Jesus paid for me." Is the Spirit of God living in you this morning? If not, why don't you pray with me as we close? Lord Jesus, I yield my life to you. Take control of my life. Make me the person you want to be, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that wraps up our sermon for this week. Thanks again for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandiabiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. As a reminder for your listening convenience, you can also catch Scandia Bible Church podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. Scandia Bible Church is located in the beautiful Northwest in Paulsville, Washington. If you ever find yourself in our area, we'd love to meet you. So until next week, for all of us here at Scandia Bible Church, may God richly bless you.